Hello, I am Flulaborg, and it is now Boom Time! On this episode of Boom Time, we flippy the scripties as Alex Simmons interviews me.
Do you remember when the wall came down and David Hasselhoff sang on the top of the wall?
David almost is hit in the head by, I think, like something heavy. I just imagine if this had occurred, I think Ronald Reagan would have said, Mr. Gorbachev, put back that wall.
Nobody messes with David Hasselhoff.
Nobody. In part one of a series, we discuss what my childhood was like growing up in southern Germany. We have the Bergkirchweih. It's like a mountain party.
Mountain party, okay.
A mountain party. There were strawberries with chocolate on them, and a Schweinehaxe, which is like a pig's shoulder.
Strawberries covered in chocolate. Pig shoulder.
Pig shoulder, yes. We also discuss what music, TV shows, and films influenced me into becoming the man-child that I am today.
In Die Hard, there are German terrorists.
Yeah.
As a child watching this, were you sort of thinking, it'd be kind of cool if the Germans pulled this off?
No. So, yeah. Because if you're watching the film in German, everyone's speaking German. So, there's no roots for this.
It's the life and also times of Flulaborg Part 1, and it is all happening right now on Boom Time.
Greetings to you dudes and ladies, and welcome to the most ideal time in the history of timekeeping, Boom Time! Today, a very special edition of Boom Time, where Alex Simmons, the director of Boom Time, dives so deep into my childhood, much like Bruce Willis when he drilled into that dirty asteroid on the Michael Bay movie Armageddon.
Let's hope that your psyche survives better than that asteroid did.
Oh man, you can spelunk so deep into my cerebellum, I will survive, just like Gloria Gaynor said.
Good.
Exactly. Okay, so before we speak about my life as a baby child, yeah, we must play the world's most wonderful game. It's sweeping the nation just like that. What's that game with the black cards that everyone's like, oh, I'm so rude. No, I am more rude. I am the rudest of the town.
Cards Against Humanity.
Yes. That's like this, except without cards, and it's much shorter.
And less popular.
Yes. This game is...
So it's nothing like that.
That's right. It's not anything like this. In this game, which has no name, Alex will say some weird German things that he thinks is German, but is not German because he does not speak German. And then I will hear it and tell him the most close German thing that he did say.
And to mix it up and to stay in theme.
Yes.
Whatever I say, I want you to translate it into German food. So just force your brain. This is going to make it even harder.
This is
make
difficult.
It seem like a food.
So the most close-sounding food,
yeah,
that you are mumbling.
That's right.
Please do it.
Okay, here we go. The German food-ish of the day is Das Schwanstutzel.
Thank you for helping.
You're
I would
welcome.
Say that is Das Schwan.
Das Schwanstutzel.
So you said strudel, which
strudel.
Is what you almost
See?
Did. So which
Great.
For sure we have a strudel.
Helping out.
Schwanstrudel, which would be swan cakes.
Okay.
Or swan strudel. You say strudel.
Swan strudel.
Yes.
That sounds delicious.
It does.
Assuming it's not actually swan. I'm assuming it's a white strudel of some sort.
No, it probably is
made
just
of swan.
It's a savory strudel, which are not popular.
Okay.
Nobody wants a I don't want a savory strudel. It's like when people are like, oh, it's like a savory pie, like with garlic and ducks. Nobody wants this.
Our specials today, it's a savory pie with garlic and ducks.
Yeah. Nobody wants
ducks.
This. Yeah, ducks.
Do you feel warm?
Oh, great. That was one.
That's it.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Alex. My brain is so warm. And now we are going to enter a very new territory for us.
That's right.
We're like Lewis and Alex and Clark discovering a new thing. You are interviewing me.
We're changing it up.
Oh, let's turn some tables right now on...
I'm taking the keys to the Boomtime rocket ship.
Oh, yes.
And you and me and Bruce Willis and Liv Tyler.
Cool.
And Ben Affleck and
we'll
all
sell
of us.
Us insurance. I like
the,
it.
Ben Affleck will sell us insurance quickly, and then we'll get back on our rocket ship, and we're going to head to this asteroid that is your brain, and we're going to drill into it in order to blow it up.
Oh,
and
great.
Save the Earth.
Wonderful.
This is Armageddon, Michael Bay.
Oh,
we were just talking about that.
I thought you were telling us what we
That's
are
not
going
actually
to do.
Going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Did you think Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck, the commercial, and
you
Liv
know
Tyler
you
were all coming
Affleck,
over?
Affleck, right?
Yeah.
You sound like the goose.
How would you pronounce it?
Affleck.
Affleck.
Well, it's with an E.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's Ben, if you're listening.
Sorry, Ben.
We're so sorry, Alex.
He's not. Hey. Spoiler.
Hey.
Spoiler here.
Like, hey.
He's not listening. That's the spoiler.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. Well, look, Alex is from Idaho.
I know.
And so they are saying things different. And I'm from Germano, so we also say things different.
I do have a really not great habit of slightly mispronouncing people's last names.
It's good for confusion.
Yeah.
And everyone loves confusion.
Oh, they do.
They love it.
Should we start this special episode where I'm taking over and you're the subject?
Let's do it right now.
Boom, 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 boom.
Time!
All right, the tables have been turned.
Oh boy, howdy.
The hunter has become the hunted.
Oh, not the gatherer?
I don't know. Should we just... I'm already flummoxed.
Yes.
Yeah. Flula.
Yes.
Before we begin.
Yes.
Do you know what time it is?
I absolutely know what time it is. It is...
Boom time! Boom time!
It's actually 11:38 a.m.
Oh, I'm incorrect for the first time.
Well, it is both things. A broken clock is right four times a day.
Four times the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how they say it.
So today's episode is a little different.
Okay.
We're going deep, deep, deep into your childhood, and we're going to open up your hood and see what makes you tick.
It's very weird. My childhood.
We're going to open up your childhood
and
see what the engine is made out of.
Perfect. Great.
Just Dampf noodle and...
Oh, yes.
Pilsner.
And lots of pills.
So, speaking of your childhood...
Yes.
You grew up in southern Germany in Bavaria.
Yes, I did.
In the town of Erlangen.
Yes, Erlangen. It's an Universitätsstadt. Yeah, Erlangen. Yeah.
Erlangen.
Yeah.
Erlangen.
You got it.
What is Erlangen like?
Erlangen is a small town. It's a city, but not like a... It's a large town, a small city.
Yeah.
It is the home of the university. There's a large university there.
Mm-hmm.
And the most famous thing there probably is the MP3 was invented in Erlangen.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, now who's caring? We have, I don't know, the new file that is popular, but
yeah,
this was there. And then also Siemens, which is a very popular... this company, it's like the
what chemicals, industrial type things.
Yeah, like
they make every type of thing that goes in every type of thing.
Yeah, they're like General Mills, but not just cereal, but also like medical equipment.
Yeah.
So, and no food. Actually, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. It basically, it's a large company. Yeah.
That's great.
Not really, but so everyone there is a Siemens, and if you work for Siemens, you are called a Siemensianer, which is like, I assume it's like Googlers are from Google.
Right.
You know, they just did this, yeah.
Like a Washingtonian, someone from Washington.
Yeah.
So if you work for Siemens, you're a Siemensianer.
Siemensianer, yeah, there's a lot of those.
So you grew up in West Germany.
West Germany, that's correct, yes, West
and
Germany.
When you were growing up... East Germany was still a thing.
It was still a thing.
Do you remember when the wall came down and what that was like and what, you know, the emotions that were going through everyone's heads and brains at the time?
I was a very tiny, small boy.
Yeah.
And so I can remember the most popular thing was we did drive to one of the borders.
Yeah.
And on the border, there was like a bridge. And my memory is we are looking down and the people from East Germany are driving in their Trabis, which is a Trabant. And the Trabant is the East German automobile that I think everybody had it.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, what color will I get?
Right.
It's not, oh, what model and blah, blah. No, you get this car, the Trabant.
Very tiny car.
Very small. It's like...
made out of aluminum foil.
Well, the rumor was it was made from wood chips and plastic, many of the pieces. And I believed this. I don't know if this is true.
Yeah.
But it was very not good in the quality.
Right.
And it was kind of like a not cool version of like the, what's the car from Italian Job they're driving around every place?
Oh, yeah, a Mini Cooper.
Yes, it's like a Mini Cooper, but not good.
Yeah.
But so everybody was driving the the Trabant.
Yeah.
And they are going under the bridge and out the hands, they are going from West Germany to East because they visited.
Yeah.
They are holding bananas.
Just because they're so stoked to eat bananas.
Yes.
Because they didn't have them.
Like I assume they did not have them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but so everybody was just visiting the supermarket and coming home and just very excited. And maybe the banana.
How many bananas do you guys have? Oh, we'll take them.
That's
everyone,
right.
Just everyone.
Oh, yes.
How many bananas? We'll take them.
Take them all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Insert into our sack.
Yeah.
So they was very exciting.
It sounds like it was bananas.
Oh.
Because, you know.
Yes.
Phrase.
Yeah. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
How did it make you feel when David Hasselhoff sang on the top of the wall on New Year's Eve in 1989.
I also was a child for this, yeah. And I do remember it. And of course, your memory is not the same as the reality, you know?
Sure.
Because now you may go to YouTube and
you've seen the footage. So for those who don't know, New Year's Eve, 1989, David Hasselhoff is hired to sing in Berlin. He sings his hit song in Berlin, which is I've Been Looking for Freedom.
Very good, yes.
He's got like a leather jacket on that has like Christmas lights,
oh, yes,
sewn into it.
White lights.
And he's belting out the song.
I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking so long.
And people are going crazy. And I feel like that, for a lot of Germans, it's sort of funny, but also still like part of that era's mystique, and the images from that era is like David Hasselhoff singing on the top of the wall.
Oh, yes. And you say he was hired. Actually, I don't know. I don't know if he would just like, I'm here, I'm going to be myself and include myself in this wonderful event of history.
So I was doing a little research.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, somehow there was a concert promoter that asked him to come sing in Berlin. And he said, only if I can sing on the top of the wall. And they were like, we don't know. And he's like, I'm only doing it if I can do it on top of the wall. And they're like, okay, we'll make it happen. So then they set it up so he could sing at the Brandenburg Gate.
Whoa.
In Berlin.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Well, I will say also, I encourage the people, you should look up the video.
Yes, definitely.
In the video, David almost, so close, almost is hit in the head by, I think, like something heavy, like a can or a glass or something.
Banana, maybe.
Or perhaps a banana, we don't know. But I just imagine if this had occurred,
right,
the story would be not the same story.
They would have reclosed the wall, maybe.
I think Ronald Reagan would have said, Mr. Gorbachev, put back that wall.
Nobody messes with David Hasselhoff.
Nobody. He is our treasure.
So, speaking of entertainment and culture.
Okay.
This is called a segue.
I like this. Nice one.
I know that when you were a child, something that you were very into and you took very seriously was Schuhplattler dancing.
At the Schuhplattler, yes.
Tell me, what is this?
Okay, so the Schuhplattler dancing is, it's Schuh and Plattler. It's hard to say if you're not from Germany.
Like me.
What? Like you, yes.
That was a dig. But
I thought you said leck mich, which means, is the short of an insult, leck mich am, I'll say it, everyone, be prepared for your beeps, leck mich am Arsch, which means lick me on my anus.
So did you think, just in the middle of you answering my question, I just said lick me?
Yes.
In German?
Which means like suck it, right. You know, like the suck it, Trebek.
That would have been a crazy move by me.
That's why I was surprised.
Yeah.
So Schuhplattler, yes.
So it's this folkloric dancing.
Word, yes.
Tell me more about it, yeah.
It is traditional in the southern Germany. People are typically, it's like the boys are wearing Lederhosen, which are the leather pants or what you say. Your hands are up, and then as they are up, but then they come down and slap you on the knee and back up. And then they slap it on the shoe and back up. And lots of slappy, slappy, slappy.
If you Google, you know, if you just Google image Germany,
yes,
probably one of the first photos will be of someone Schuhplattler dancing.
It's top five for sure. Yes,
but this dance comes also from Bavaria originally. I think it's more of a regional thing, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's a South Germany thing, Bavaria. So Bavaria is like the south of America a little bit. You know, it's just the more country.
Yeah. Do Northern Germans ever just get a little miffed that Bavarian culture often is just assumed to be German culture in general by Americans and other nationalities?
I must tell you, I cannot say because I'm not from the north,
right. Yeah.
But my uncle lives in Hamburg. And so that's North Germany. And I know for sure he does not give two duties about this.
Right.
So I assume nobody cares. But we are Germans and sometimes we can be a little sensitive.
Right.
So I don't know. If someone told me I'm from Berlin and I'm so annoyed always, people like, will you Lederhosen? Hey, go dance.
Right.
Perhaps this would be annoying. I don't care, of course.
It'd be like if you were from New York and you showed up in Paris and they're like, hey, where's your horse and cowboy, man? Oh, you're a cowboy. You're from America.
Right.
Yeehaw. Similar to that.
Yes.
I was wondering,
oh boy,
if you could give me a little example
of
Schuhplattler dancing right now.
Yes, of course.
I'm going to record it.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm moving the mic.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
He's doing it. Woo! For those who just heard that, which is everyone except for me, that was amazing.
Oh.
You still got it.
Still got it. It's like a man with a cycle.
What was amazing is when you started, suddenly, just in my mind's eye, I saw a beer garden and lederhosen just morph out of the sky and just, you know, envelop the whole. And then you stopped and it went away.
I transported you.
I did.
Oh.
You did.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alex.
How you doing? You out of breath?
A little bit, yeah. It's also, we are recording now and it is very hot outside.
Yeah.
So
not the right environment for Schuttplattler dancing.
No. And just to tell you, so you're saying shoot?
I can't say
it. It's just shoe.
Shoe. Okay. So, and which is literally part of the translation.
Yeah. Schuttplattler.
Schuttplattler dancing.
Perfect.
Can I say dancing that
dancing.
Way?
Dancing. Yeah. With your eyes like that, I like it.
At these Schuttplattler dancing events.
Yes.
What sorts of food were being served?
Many times my small troop was hired to go to something like, so in Erlangen we have, it's called the Bergkirchweih, and the Berg is just a mountain, and a Kirchweih is like a party. It's like a mountain party.
Mountain party, okay.
Yeah, mountain party.
That sounds really fun.
It's fun. And so what we would do in Erlangen, so the Americans would call it the Strawberry Fest.
Uh-huh.
We did not understand, I think, when you have like the Bergkirchweih sign,
yeah,
and it's like hanging every place,
yeah,
there were some strawberries on the sign,
right,
and some other things also.
So their takeaway was just like, oh, it must be about strawberries.
Strawberry yeah. Fest, yeah. Strawberry fields forever. So all the Americans are always like, oh, I'm going to the Strawberry Fest.
Right.
But also, to be fair, Bergkirchweih,
yeah,
not easy to say if you are an American person. So strawberries.
And so, but...
Oh, sorry.
Mainly, was it just strawberries that were eaten, or?
Well, it was also double confusion because there were strawberries with chocolate on them that you can purchase.
Ooh.
But again, so many other foods available there.
Right.
Bratwurst, yeah. a brezel, and a Schweinehaxe, which is like a pig's...
Schweinehaxel?
Haxe, yeah.
Yeah, Haxel.
A pig's shoulder or something like this.
A pig's shoulder.
Yeah.
It went strawberries covered in chocolate. Pretzels, pig shoulder.
Yeah. Yes, well, you know.
Okay, yeah, that's it. Just it took a left turn into very German right there.
That,
yeah.
we go German quick. Yeah,
just imagine all the children walking around with like just a pig shoulder in one hand and cotton candy in the other.
Yeah, and strawberries in the pockets.
Yeah.
Boom time.
Are you suffering from stagnant workflow, lemon flavor depletion, cross-platform synergy, having a career? You might be entitled to advice from Brandon, Vitamin Water brand ambassador and professionally busy man. Call 833-477-8339 to see if he can squeeze you in today. Because as Brandon says, there is nothing more professional than Brandon.
Brandon is an unpaid spokesperson for Vitamin Water and should not be trusted with business advice or any advice for that matter.
Yeah, so we would perform this.
Yeah, yeah.
We would. People are drinking their beers in the mass, so in a mass.
Yeah.
And a mass.
A big cup.
It's a big, yes, it's right.
it's like a big gulp
just
for
a
beer.
Big gulp. Big gulp, but for alcoholic beverages. And it is one mass is 1 liter.
Yeah.
So these boys are big. And then just like you have seen, in Oktoberfest for Munich and things.
Yeah.
There's ladies who are carrying these. Not so much like in Munich. We just go to and buy and carry ourselves.
Right.
I just go to the place. Yeah. I don't need a large lady to carry 5 of these for me.
Right.
I just go and pick it up.
Yeah, it's easier.
Yeah, easier.
It's just more direct.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cut out the middle.
Woman. Mm-hmm. So we are dancing while the people are drinking.
Did you enjoy eating the pork shoulder as a child? No.
No. I have a relationship with bones that is a little just weird, you know.
We all do.
I
think, well, it is one difference, I think, between Americans and a lot of other cultures is that generally Americans prefer their meats unrecognizable from the animal they came from. Whereas, you know, I remember being an exchange student, being in France, ordering rabbit, because we're all like, oh, well, we should live. Like, we should really try something that's you wouldn't ordinarily order in America. Comes out, it's a rabbit just sitting on my plate that's been cooked. Like, it looks just like a rabbit sat on the plate and then it was cooked, you know? And I think you order a chicken in any American restaurant, it just looks like a sort of little oval of white meat, you know what I mean? Which, and I've been trained to like that. And That's one. And I don't really like fried chicken that much because there's bones in there. I don't want to see bones just because I've been conditioned that way. I'm too lazy. You know.
I think if it was you have to eat the thing just like it looks.
Yeah.
People would eat probably, I think, fewer meats.
Right.
Like that thing used to hop around and like lay eggs or whatever rabbits do. And
now we're eating magical bunnies.
And so now I eat this magic bunny. Yeah. No, thank you. Right. Please keep hopping.
What foods, in addition to pork shoulder, did you not like to eat the most? And before you answer,
yes,
I've done something.
Uh-oh, do I need to grab some mops?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me the corner, I'll clean it.
I'm not sure where to take your metaphor, so I'm just going to ignore it.
Perfect.
I contacted your mother.
Oh.
And I asked her to tell us what you didn't like to eat as a child. Just, I wanted to go straight to the source. I didn't trust you.
Smart. It's a smart move for you.
She responded in German.
Okay.
She used your nickname, which I know you don't want out there, so we're just going to beep it.
We're beeping it.
She did answer both what you liked and what you didn't like as a child, as far as foods go. Here, you ready?
Is it in English or German?
It's in German, as I mentioned just 2 seconds ago. You weren't listening.
Sorry. So I will translate.
Yes. Can you live translate this?
This would be like the United Nations.
Yeah. It's like when you listen to the BBC, they're always like,
yes,
estamos aquí en we are here in Mexico.
Oh, perfect. I'll be a Ban Ki-moon.
Mm-hmm, please.
Okay.
Use your metaphor, not
yes.
mine. Yep.
Okay. Ready. Ready to play it?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Go.
Ja, der kleine der hat eigentlich am liebsten Nudeln, Spätzle mit
so
Soße
I used
gegessen.
To love noodles with Spätzle and the sauces and of course Dampfnudeln
und Kartoffelsuppe
and potato soup
gut.
He always liked
und Kuchen
and
zum
cake lots of Linsertorte and cheese and cakes and nut cakes.
Das waren eigentlich so die Sachen.
He
was
loved
nicht
those
so
things. What he did
gemocht,
not like
fish,
was fish
and
spinach and
auch.
Many vegetables, of course. And he was always having
Mama
a trick. So when I, the mama, was not looking, he would sometimes throw these items out of the window. This is very true. Okay, so I thank you, Mama. that is true. I did do this. I would toss out the there was one which she was making liver. This is nasty. And for me as a child, I'm sure it is delicious now, but she went to go to something in the kitchen and I immediately tossed it from four stories onto the street.
I just imagine there's probably some neighborhood dog out there just looking for a crumb. And then one day, just a giant chunk of liver just plops right in front of him.
Oh, yes.
And he's just like, thank you, God.
I think he started telling the other dog friends. Yeah. And so then every day at, 16:30 hours, they knew, let's sit in this general area and food, then God will give us some delicious snacks.
They see the window open.
Oh,
they start drooling like Pavlov's dogs.
Yes, yeah. Flula's dogs. Yeah.
It's funny because my parents were medium strict growing up. And they made me finish my dinner, but they wouldn't normally go too harsh about it. It was normally like just try a bite or try some. But I have a very specific memory of them making liver and of somehow that being the day that I had to eat it.
Because you must, this time it's not medium strict. We are full strict today.
Yeah, you have to eat it. And it was a standoff where I wasn't allowed to leave the table until I ate at least, a certain portion of it.
How old were you?
I'm going to say I was probably 5 or 6.
Oh, so still very young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there in my memory, it's like half an hour, an hour. It's completely gone cold. I'm not going to eat it. And they're not going to let me leave.
So is it like a...
They're like cleaning the kitchen and I'm just sitting there staring at this cold piece of liver. It's getting colder and more disgusting.
I thought this was a good and bad and ugly where it's like close up of your eyes, close up of daddy's eyes, close up of mama's eyes, close up of liver for like an hour. But no, they're just, you are staring at this food and they are cleaning dishes.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Did you have a window nearby?
I should get a recording of my mom to tell me, but that would take too much work. So I'm just going to say what I think happened was I probably took like the tiniest bite and they're just like, that's fine, you did it,
Oh, nice.
But because I do remember eating it, like having a bite of it and just never having liver again. That's one thing I'll tell you.
I don't. It had the texture. Everything was. Yeah. We don't have to speak about it, but it was not what a child would like.
And to my parents' credit, they didn't make liver ever again.
I don't think my mother did as well. she thought I loved it so much because the plate was empty.
Do you know how long that ruse was kept up? Like, when did you tell her as an adult that you did it, or did she find out at some? Did she turn around once and you were mid liver toss?
She did not know. I told her maybe when I was like college.
Yeah.
After the high school, I told her this secret. But I will say, my mother, I must say, if she's listening, also eine spitze Köchin, just the most wonderful cook.
Yeah.
Such delicious foods. And so these are ones when I'm visiting always, I love to have some Spätzle and Dampfnudel because these are just delicious foods.
And she's taught you how to make some of these things too. And you can turn them around. You can make some decent German Spätzle and the cake, the Linsertorte.
Oh, Linsertorte, yes.
You're pretty good at that.
I do enjoy to make a Linsertorte. Yeah. Yeah, many times I've made this.
Well, that was a great little food version of your childhood.
Okay, wonderful.
Moving on.
Yes.
You guys got a lot of American TV and movies and music.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
What were some of the movies that you loved as a child that were American imports?
I loved Top Gun.
Yeah.
We always received things a little late,
right?
Later, yeah. And then I also loved Top Secret.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and many people do not know this film because it is pretty old, but also, but for us, for me, not so old because it was popular years later after the releasing of it.
Right, but Val Kilmer at his height.
Oh, my lordies. So this is, so if people don't know, Top Secret was a, hold on, I have to burp away from the camera. You're welcome, listeners. So Val Kilmer is a man in the World War II era who is like an Elvis Presley types of person.
Right.
And he is coming to Germany to help like for public relations for America and touring Nazi Germany as like an Elvis man.
Yeah.
And it is wonderful. It is so funny. It is the Zucker Brothers. And people will remember it if they do, because there is a scene with two people who are pretending to be a cow.
Right, yeah, in a cow suit.
Yes. Can I say my favorite line?
Yeah, please.
So there are people there at a ball, in a ballroom, and Val Kilmer is speaking to like the hot lady, and he's like, I'm sorry, I don't speak German, it's so tough. And she's like, oh, I know a little German. He's sitting over there. And then a very small man stands on a chair and waves to them.
Right.
It was very fun.
This was in the era of a lot of really good gag and prop humor.
Like, oh, yes.
Airplane.
Naked Gun.
The Naked Gun. Yes. Oh, man. The Naked Gun had so many great prop jokes. It's just a list of prop jokes is the script, I think.
Just the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very good.
Were there any other movies that you really liked?
Yeah. My most favorite film was, and you know this, of course, was...
I was kind of...
Yeah,
pushing you in
yeah,
that direction.
I did not want to say it right away because so many good films are existing.
Yeah.
Oh, Lethal Weapon, also wonderful. Die Hard, which is Stirb Langsam in German. We translate the film titles. And Stirb Langsam means to die slowly.
Which is, you guys often translate very literally, but then sometimes you put a little tweak on it.
A little English on it. Well, so for example, if we had just made Die Hard and translated it could be like Stirb Hart, which means die like some concrete, which doesn't make sense.
Right.
Or hard like with... So
difficult.
Stirb schwierig, which would mean to die with difficulty,
right,
which just sounds like you are taking a test that you have not prepared for adequately.
Right. So die slowly somehow works a little better.
So who knows? The ad wizards came up with this, yes.
It's funny. In that movie, no one dies slowly.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are fast. They are fast in the expiring. Yeah.
So in Die Hard, of course, one of the great movie villains of all time, Hans Gruber.
Oh, yes.
Was there a part of you as a German who was kind of rooting for the German terrorists to pull off their caper? So, and for those who haven't seen Die Hard for a while, the nuts and bolts of it are a German terrorist group led by Hans Gruber, played by Alan Rickman, who was amazing in the part.
Very good.
They take over a skyscraper in Los Angeles.
Nakatomi Building.
Nakatomi Plaza, which is where it was located. And they're going to steal $600-something million in bonds or something. But it's a very elaborate plan. It all takes place in this Christmas party. And their bad luck was that tough New York cop, John McClane, Bruce Willis,
yeah,
is just randomly there visiting his estranged wife,
Holly Gennaro.
Yep, Miss Gennaro, and she, yeah. He's the fly in the ointment, and basically, spoiler alert, ruins their whole plan.
Ruins the party.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a wonderful film. A wonderful. Oh, so your question?
But, yeah. So they're. What's funny is they're German terrorists, and yes. They're led by Hans Gruber, who again, great movie villain. As a child watching this, were you sort of thinking, "That'd be kind of cool if the Germans pulled this off"? They're pretty entertaining guys.
No, so yeah. Because if you're watching the film in German, everyone's speaking German, so there's no roots for this.
So it was unclear who was German and American, anyways. They're all just something.
You just know who is
good
the
guy
hero,
and bad guy.
Good guy, bad guy, and you. And in this case, Bruce Willis was so cool. This is like the first action film for him.
Yeah.
And my mama did not enjoy the film because like it was very violent. So of course I loved it more.
Right.
So I just enjoyed Alan. I enjoyed Hans Gruber, I should say, because he was just so evil.
Yeah.
And when you see very evil, you do want this person to, you know, die. It is like with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
When, sorry guys, spoils, but when Joffrey Baratheon is poisoned, you are so, it's weird how happy that you become to see a person's demise.
You know, the villain that I really enjoy, another German, was Colonel Hans Landa, Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds.
Wonderful.
And same reason, he's smart and calculating. And I think what makes him so interesting is that he's got a reason for doing all this. And it's all part of this plan that he's doing to move people around. And his terrorism and his horror is all calculating. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. He is not a caricature.
Yeah.
It's just like a real and calm. It is always creepy to see a calm person being mean and rude. It's like when mama is mad, but is just looking and talking quietly.
Right.
Or father.
So much worse than yelling.
Yes. Please scream. Tell us you are angry.
Right.
This quiet thing is very scary. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of, you know, exported American culture. What about music? What kind of stuff were you listening to as a small baby child?
I loved as a baby child to listen.
And yeah. Side question.
Yeah.
Were you cassettes, CDs?
Yeah, so both. So the cassettes was because my parents did have those and the albums also.
Yeah.
So I was listening as a child in the morning, I would wake up very early and I would have immediately a whole bar of Nestle white chocolate.
First thing in the morning?
Oh, yes. It was called Device.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and I would, there are the rectangles, and I would, sounds weird, but I would not chew them. I would let them melt in my mouth.
White chocolate is the worst of the chocolates.
It's not good.
I think.
It's also probably not chocolate, you know, if you're to be honest. You know, here's why.
Yeah.
My mother loved Zartbitter Schokolade.
Oh, of course.
Which is, what is this called?
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't know.
No.
I think you are just...
Zartbitter.
Zartbittere. So bitter is bitter. So it's like the dark chocolate,
which I love now.
As a child, though.
But as a child, that would just be like drinking a cup of coffee.
Yes, it's a mistake.
Right,
like,
okay.
Let's shoot a whiskey and a beer as we're doing this at the same time. No.
Yeah.
No.
I think I liked white chocolate as a child, too. So, okay, wait, sorry. You're eating a giant bar of white chocolate.
In the morning.
Just amped up.
Amped up. And then
you
would
pull out some LPs, you're saying?
I would pull the LPs, and so I would pull up the Janis Joplin's Greatest Hits, the Doors' Greatest Hits, Creedence Clearwater Revival,
oh man,
the Greatest Hits.
That's good stuff, actually.
So, yeah, Jim Croce, Led Zeppelin, and ZZ Top, and so all of the like...
ZZ Top.
Yeah, ZZ Top, very good. Every song, same beat in a wonderful way. I love those guys.
Same beard, same beat.
Oh, same beard, same beat.
Same great sound.
Yes. Yes, and then I would start to enter in the hip hops.
Yeah.
So I would go to Young MC, and in the days we did not know what is good and bad. So perhaps it is good, but we loved MC Hammer. We loved Snow.
Oh yeah.
The Informer man, you know, Informer. This man.
Run, come follow me. Run, come follow me. That's something else, maybe. He was from Canada.
Right. 12 inches of snow.
Well, it's fine. Yeah, this is definitely in the days where you were just. You consumed the music that you were given.
Yes.
You know? So whatever, if you're into hip hop, you're going to listen to whatever is on MTV.
That's correct. And we did not have MTV.
But you had like pop radio or whatever, and they would play that, you know?
Yeah, I remember. Oh, you know, no, we did have MTV sometimes. I remember this. It was no cable, you know?
Right.
So I would go to friends' houses. And so it was big to, like, I would know the Beastie Boys fighting for the rights to fight for your right to party.
Fighting for the rights to party.
Yeah, that's how you say it. Well, you have to fighting for your writing to. Yeah. So this was what we listened to, and also PM Dawn.
Oh man, yeah. Celebrate the
set adrift a memory bliss.
Something. Yeah. He died sadly.
Well, he looked like a man who probably should eat healthy.
Yeah, he should have.
Speaking of this, Heavy D also,
yeah,
very popular. Yeah. Now that we found love, what are we gonna do,
man? Yeah.
With it, as a Michael Jackson Dangerous album.
Oh man,
was also very popular. The Jam video with Michael Jackson and Chris and Cross.
Yep.
Also, 150% have expired of those. No, and Michael.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's not. Yeah. Let's,
so
okay.
I don't think I just asked you. Can you name pop stars who have died?
But now we're doing it.
That's what you're just doing.
I'm very sorry about this.
At what point did you decide, I'm liking all this music.
Yeah.
I think I can make some too.
I like when you said that and your neck moved around like you are a sassy girl from Beverly Hills.
I just wanted you to really get in the vibe.
Yeah. Well, that is how I feel and think. I'm like, I can do it. Yeah. What? Why not? Hello.
If I didn't move that way, I was afraid that you wouldn't understand what I was saying.
Yes. No, you communicated to me the tone. Of sassy saucy. Yeah, so I always was making music as a child. I would write raps and I would want to learn the raps.
I would love to have heard some of these raps.
They were very bad.
Oh, man.
But the good ones was really just me copying. So I would take, Will Smith had a song called Summertime.
Sure.
And so, you know, here it is, a groove, blah, 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 blah. I know this. I'm sparing people.
Yeah.
But I would
just
write.
Just a bit of a break from the norm.
No, yeah, just a little something. To break up the monotony.
Yeah.
Because of all that hardcore dance. It's just gotten to be a little bit out of control. The school, the dance, you know. But what about a groove that suits and moves romance? I don't know. Anyway, but give me a soft, subtle mix, you know? Because if it ain't broke, then.
Don't try to fix
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I would write down these lyrics and then memorize them in the mirror and also do judo moves.
Judo moves?
Yes. I had no brothers and sisters, so I would do judo moves and then rap these songs on the repeat, because I did have a cassette player that I was using to record the radio.
Yeah.
This is weird that we are doing in this era.
Oh yeah, I did that too.
Yeah, so I would record on the radio, and then I would always also hear like, what is his name? Casey Kasem or Ricky Dizzy or something. So I would capture this because the armed force.
Rick D's in the weekly top 40.
Yes. And we got this because America, there's the Armed Forces Network, which was a radio that anyone can listen to, you know. It's just there. It is AM, so the quality is not so good as FM. But I still can remember when Hadaway was What is Love? Baby, don't hurt. And then I still have on the tape, they would play this, and then Rick D's would go, and Hadaway went that away, dropping 8 spots to number 40, or something like this.
Yeah.
I just remember this very terrible joke from Rick D's.
Well, because you listen to an album enough, and you know the next song. You just start to hear it.
Oh, yes.
And that's funny, because I definitely did that too. I would make mixtapes
of
songs that I had recorded from the radio.
Oh, yes.
So then you'd remember, like, if I hear certain songs now, I'm ready for a State Farm commercial to start right afterwards.
Immediately.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I remember also that it was songs I did not like would come in the moment. These are good songs, but as a 12-year-old, like The Gin Blossoms, that wasn't, or Soul Asylum, Runaway Train.
Yeah.
It's just not my...
Sure.
Very good for someone.
You don't
someone.
Have to apologize for, as a 12-year-old, not liking all of pop radio.
Yeah, okay,
that's
good.
Okay.
Yeah, thank
I'm going to allow you to be okay with
artists, that. Artists, you're not. Everyone loves all the things.
Yeah. Well, I have a little surprise for you.
Oh, boy.
I've dived into the archives.
Okay.
And I've found a little clip of something.
You've snorkeled in there. Okay.
And I'm going to play it right now, and then we'll talk about it.
Great.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Here it is.
Okay. 60 years old. 60 years old.
Roman Polanski. Vampire Dancing.
Knoblauch. Knoblauch. Knoblauch.
So this is a song that you made. I think it might be the first techno song you ever made.
It is the first one without very large cursing words that I made. And it's called Inge 60.
Yeah.
It is because...
Who's Inge?
Inge is meine Tante, so my aunt,
yeah.
Inge. She did turn 60 years old.
Yeah, you make that clear in the song.
I do, as you can hear. And so I decided, what does a nice aunt like?
Techno song.
Techno song.
Yeah,
and so
homemade techno song.
Yes, yes. So I know that so my mother was purchasing for her some tickets.
Your mother, who we already met earlier.
Yeah, so she was purchasing tickets to Tanz der Vampire, which is a Roman Polanski, I think, a film or musical.
Yeah.
And they were going to go together to this. So I decided to include this into my song, Inge 60.
What do you know about your aunt? She's going to a show.
Yes.
Put that in the song.
Those are the details of the song. And then, of course, there's a word you may hear in the clip, Knoblauch, which just means garlic.
Because of the vampires.
Because of the vampires.
And how did you give this to her? This is, you know, you couldn't just text her an MP3.
No, in these days. So I had a CD burner.
Yeah.
And so I exported the song.
Yeah.
And then I put it on the CD as many times as it would fit on the CD, which I think was maybe 13 to 18 times.
Yeah.
And I just mailed this to her.
Oh, my God.
So my
with any note?
No. I just said, alles Gute zum Geburtstag, Inge. So happy birthday to you, Inge. Tante Inge. And so I just, in my memory, she is there in her in small German town outside of Heidelberg.
Yeah.
Just putting the CD in the machine very careful and sitting on the couch. And then this just weird potential nightmare song happens. But then it happens
over
again.
And over.
Yes, more.
18 times.
So I want to know, she will not remember probably, it has been some time.
Yeah.
How many
right.
times...
Did she let it go?
Yes, like after track 5,
yeah.
was she like, okay.
Fool me once.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she's like, you know, my nephew is just a dick. It's a real person, you know. I don't know. But yes, that is my first techno song.
Oh, but I bet she was... so touched that you made something for her, right?
Yes.
I love that you just take sort of just random details of what that person happens to be doing
yes.
and then sort of use them as the thing that that person loves most.
Yeah, when I write music, I don't...
Mama likes to eat a sandwich.
Sandwich, now.
With chicken.
I don't go into the soul of the person to write
right.
a song. I look at what the soul's body is doing
yeah.
and then just describe this.
Right. So, yeah, a lot of people say write from the heart.
No.
Write something... meaningful,
no,
you
no.
say, just describe the circumstances
what's
of what
now.
That person is doing.
Yeah, I call it like journalistic techno.
Mm.
It's just observe
Do
and
you?
Report.
Do you
I
call
just,
it? Yeah,
no,
you don't call
no,
it.
No, I don't. I've just made this up.
Well, thank you for
yes.
indulging me, because I've
you.
Always loved that song from the first time you played it for
yeah.
me and David many years ago.
That's true. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, that's about as far as I was going to go.
Great.
Well, thank you for indulging me, as I just said. And
thanks, Alex. That was weird and fun to do.
Okay, so every episode of Boom Time ends with you
yes.
normally asking a guest
yes.
a series of deep and hard-hitting questions.
Oh, they hit so very rough.
These are questions
okay.
that you stole from James Lipton.
I did.
Who stole them from Bernard Pivot.
Yes.
Who stole them from Chalk.
The Marlboro.
The Mayan.
Yeah.
Marlboro Man or something.
We don't know, yeah. Puff the Magic Russian. Nobody knows.
And the point of these questions is that you have to answer them quickly without thinking.
Yes.
So you can access your deep subconscious and get the real true answer.
Mm.
And also so it would be really boring if you took a long time to answer.
Agree.
So I think just remember, as you always tell the guests, answer quickly. Don't think about them. If you think about them, that's cheating.
Okay.
And before we begin,
yes,
a soundscape that you've created,
I've recreated
right here. Are you ready for the final questions?
Okay, Alex, I'm ready.
Name a movie you did enjoy as a child, other than the ones you already mentioned, like Die Hard and Top Secret.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's a good one. What is your favorite 90s music video of all time?
Oh, Lordy. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's called Things That Make You Go, by
yeah.
CNC Music Factory.
That was a good one. What happened in that? There was a lot of heavy graphics, I remember.
I was in the crib, sitting by the fireplace, drinking cocoa on the bearskin rug, doorbell rang, who could it be? Thought to myself, then started to shrug. And it's like him, it's like the two people, Zilia and Zalia, I don't remember the names.
Yeah.
And it's all very cartoons, and
right.
white background, and like painting, and like just a couch in the middle of nowhere, like The Matrix, except instead of lots of weapons, it's like a rug and a couch.
Name your favorite German side dish.
Rotkraut, which is red cabbage.
Red cabbage.
Yes. You put some apples in it, and it, as you let it cook, the apples are dissolving. Ooh. And then you have the raisins, which normally, but in the red cabbage, they start to plumpy and become like little grapes.
Someone takes a grape, turns it into a raisin, and then they turn it back into a grape.
A grape. That's how we do it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had to live the rest of your life within a German children's folk tale, which one would it be? Mine would be Little Red Riding Hood, because I think it'd be kind of cool if my grandmother was a wolf.
Thank you for buying some time for telling me this. I would say Struwwelpeter.
Struwwelpeter?
Struwwelpeter, only it is the first I thought of.
Yeah.
Struwwelpeter was a boy who had very long hairs and very long nails, and they would grow and grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
And so I think in this days and age, you can be anything you like and receive like 2 million Instagram followers.
Right.
So if I was a man who's like, hey, bros, it's me, 12-year-old Struwwelpeter.
Yeah.
Look at my hairs and my fingers. Now follow me. And then I would be very rich from all of the Instagrams.
You would be the biggest influencer.
I would be the Kylie Jenner of bad hygiene.
Right, which would be a good thing. Okay.
Yeah.
What is a job you would like David Hasselhoff to have?
I would love David to be an in-and-out drive-through order receiver, and then he would sing your order back to you, you know?
You've been looking for a double.
Yes, that's right. And some extra fries. And then as you go around and you go to the cashier, so an in-and-out, they take the order.
Yeah.
And then who is like, okay, so we have for you a double and a fry. That would be Kit.
Right.
So Kit would confirm the order.
Right.
Hey, thank you for shopping. And I'm going to, you want a burger? Is it casual? And then,
Michael, we have company. We also have a double with a Neapolitan chick.
That's correct. Yes.
Very, very important question.
Yes.
Plie or ew?
I would say plie.
Thank God.
Yes.
What quality do you most admire in the chemical element boron?
I like boron so much because it could have like 6 letters in the element symbol. You know, like Uniconarium has like UNC or what? Go Heels Go.
Right.
Boron is just a B. You know, he's just like, what should you do? I'm just going to be.
Right.
And so he's just being there. He's not beryllium. You know, he doesn't need 2 letters.
Right.
He's like the Berlin of German license plates, you know?
Because Berlin, I don't know.
Well, here's why. Berlin is a big boy, so he's just B on the plate.
Right.
But
that's
if
all you need.
Yeah, but if you are Bamberg, you're BA.
No one sees a B and just goes, oh, Bamberg.
No, they go.
They don't think beryllium.
See?
Boron.
They see boron.
Yep.
Yeah, hello.
It's a big boy.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Okay. Shout out beryllium. You're still very nice. Yeah. I respect you.
But you're no boron.
You're no boron.
You'll never be a boron.
Never.
Well, I was going to ask you your favorite mathematical equation. Because what people don't know is that your degree is in math.
I like is it called the, how do you say it in English? Well, I will go to, there are two.
Okay.
The Pythagorean theorem.
Sure, classic.
Which is a squared plus b squared equals c squared. And what people do not know is that you're in a triangle. It has to be a right triangle, meaning a 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
And then a and b are each of the legs of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the c is the hypotenuse.
Yeah.
Hypotenuse. Hypotenuse.
Yeah.
It, and you're like, what's the hypotenuse? I will tell you. It is the side that is direct across from the 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
And so A and B are the lengths and C is the length. So A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Do you know how you know it? You draw squares off the sides, mother lickers. I'll show you. If someone cares right now, if somebody would like me to draw this for you, tweet me at Flula, hashtag hypotenuse.
That was great.
Thank you.
What is your favorite German word?
It is always rotating. I will say right now it's a Backpfeifengesicht.
Mm.
Also a Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht.
So a Gesicht is a face.
Gesicht.
And a Backpfeife is a cheek whistle face. So a cheek whistle is another slang for just a slap in the face.
A cheek whistle face.
So a Backpfeifengesicht is someone, when they speak,
yeah,
you just want to give them a large smack. So Joffrey Baratheon has
a cheek whistle face.
He has a Backpfeifengesicht. Yeah. He just has it. Ramsay Bolton, actually no, he would kill you. But Joffrey, yes.
Final question.
I'll bring it.
What location in the desert would you most like to eat German dessert? And what type of dessert would you eat?
I would say a place with some rocks in the desert.
Yeah.
So like a Joshua tree, mm-hmm, because then there's, so at some time there will be some shade.
Okay.
I would say it in the morning time it is the most cold. So I would say 6:35 a.m.
In Joshua tree.
In Joshua tree.
You're eating some German dessert, which is?
I mean, we have to go stay the brands on. We have to go Linzertorte.
Linzertorte, which is what?
Linzertorte is,
for those that don't know,
it is a, often with Pflaumenmus, which is plum jam. It is like a gingerbread, a little bit, with plum jam. And then you are calling it lattice. Lattice?
Lattice work.
Yeah, so it's like crossy, 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 yeah, of the
crust.
Yes.
On top.
Yes. If you are following.
That's the best part of it.
Yeah, so one or two or five times a year, I will make an Instagram story of making Linzertorte.
Yeah,
so
in the holidays, I feel like you make a lot of
big time
Linzertorte.
Oh, all the time, yes. Yeah. So I would eat a Linzertorte. And we love it, not German, but strawberries,
mm-hmm,
with some whipping cream.
Oh man, I love the idea of you being in Joshua Tree at dawn eating just tons and tons of slices of Linzertorte and strawberries and cream. Staying in the shade
before,
so they don't get too hot.
Yeah, if I'm ever in a spy film and people need to locate me and I'm like the agent, I'm like, meet me at Joshua Tree under the shade tree eating a Linzertorte and holding strawberries and cream.
How will we know who's Fula? Again.
Yes. just to remind you, I'll be wearing a large sun hat and eating all that stuff. Anyway, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alex Simmons. It is weird to be boom-timed.
Yeah, you just got boom-timed.
Yeah, when you call it, the teacher becomes the janitor.
Yep, as you said earlier, the hunter becomes the gatherer.
That's right.
This concludes the Life and Also Times of Flua, part one.
Perfect.
Part two will come sometime in the future, and we'll talk about whatever we didn't talk about, which chronologically happens next in the life of Flula.
Yeah, puberty.
Boom time! Boom time!
Are you tired of everyone in an airplane liking you? Introducing tuna fish sandwiches. Next time that you are flying in the airplane, bring two tuna fish sandwiches with you, and when they close the doors, immediately begin to eat one. Enjoy as everyone starts to hate you right away. Tuna fish sandwich. Pack one on your next flight.
Wow, that was quite a trip down memory lane. I learned a lot about me that I didn't know before, Alex. Thank you.
I'm glad to not be in the driver's seat anymore.
Yes, no more, no more.
Actually, I'm lying. That was really fun. I would do that again.
I understand.
And we will do it again with part two.
I am forever in the shotgun from now on.
Okay. Oh, so from now on, I'm going to host,
yes,
and you'll just be the subject, and we'll just do this every time?
Oh, I was just going to be your Paul Schaefer.
Paul Schaefer.
I was going to say Paul Reiser and Paul Newman.
You'll be my Paul Reiser.
I'll be your Paul Reiser. You will be Helen Hunt. It will be a four-camera sitcom.
Yeah.
And then immediately afterwards, you will be in a movie about natural disasters called Twisters. And I will just sit on my millions.
Good.
Yeah.
Shall we do some footnotes?
Please footnote me.
Foot.
So I have one footnote.
Okay.
It's about Hans Gruber.
Ah.
So Hans Gruber, it's not a usual German name.
Hans is like from the, you know, no one now is called Hans.
Right.
But like my mama's parents, there were some Hanses everywhere.
Well, here's the thing that I learned, is that he wasn't the first Hans Gruber.
What?
In fact, there was a German footballer, soccer player, in the 20s who played one game for the German national team, and his name was Hans Gruber.
Spelled in the same way.
Same exact way.
What?
On top of that, there was a fairly well-known Austrian-Canadian symphonic conductor named Hans Gruber, who was the head of the Victoria BC Symphony for 15 years or something like that.
In BC, so yeah. This is 2,000 years ago. There was an orchestra. They had like saxophones. Is this a time traveling band?
Yeah, 2,000 years ago in Victoria, BC.
Yeah.
BC.
Yeah.
There was a man named Hans Gruber. That's how far back it goes.
Man, that is a lot. That's a long lineage there, Hans. Nice work. When you said this, I imagined the Hans Gruber soccer player. It's like a team photo of Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
But it's like in the film. What's the film with Jack Nicholson and he's screaming at everybody in the mountain house?
The Shining.
Yeah. And like in the end, he's like, I'm crazy, crazy. And then they go to a photo on the wall and it's still Jack Nicholson.
But you've always been here.
Yeah. I feel like Hans Gruber, when he has died, they go to a close-up of a photo and it's of the soccer team.
And then they go to the Neolithic era.
Yes. And they
and he's still there. And then they go to BC and he's conducting. Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful.
Footnotes. That was it.
That was great.
Yeah.
No fan mail today, guys, but we are excited for more. Please tweet us footnotes and fan mails at Boomtime Show, all one word, no spaces.
That's it.
Okay.
Should we stop?
Yes, let's stop it. Alex, I want you to say your favorite word, and I'm ending the podcast in the middle of the word that you are about to say. Go.
Duckbill platypus.
Boom, 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 boom.
Time!